QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net. At 1900 hours or 1900 hours in 1 minute or 2 minutes, local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater, 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, plus or minus, conditions permitting, and this repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the club and all the great things we do, please go to BBARC for Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, BBARC.org, O-R-G. And a lot of good stuff there, and we're actually adding stuff to that site and doing some updates. So anyway, good information there and information on how you can become a member and help support the club, which supports, pays for this repeater to keep it running. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, and a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. All right, but before I begin, just in case, is there any emergency or priority traffic out there? If so, please call KF6Q. All right, hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements out there? Please call KF6Q.
KE6RJ.
KE6RJ, hello, good evening, hearing, go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Tom. I just got an email from, Nancy did. Let's see, an email from Tina that the picnic is canceled, and if Tina's on frequency, maybe she'd like to make an announcement. The third picnic.
Okay, Harry, yeah, I kind of got an email passed along, and I appreciate you sending that out. That is unfortunate, and so sorry about that, but you know what, anyway, anybody out there who is a CERT member and a member of the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, we got ours coming up, solid as a rock, and that'll be on August 17th, so anyway, sorry to hear that about the CERT picnic, Harry, but thank you very much for letting us know, and like I said, I just got the email myself from you, appreciate that, so anyway, thanks for that announcement. Anything else, Harry? Go ahead.
Ask me if that any more announcements. Nancy told me how to pick up the radio.
Okay, all right. Well, got you covered there. Thank you very much. And I'll call for any other announcements for Tech Tuesday. Please come back to KF6Q. Only announcements I have here, let's see, we do have, and we are working on and trying to put together a workshop for antenna launchers, going to experiment with some stuff, and a lot of good stuff out there, trying to pull together a little bit of everybody's thing out there, so that'll be coming up, I believe, on the, the 26th or 27th of this month. And we'll see if we can get that all together. We'll have more information. That'll be at Mike Bodie's house up here in Irwin Lake. And I'll try to get that all that information out as we get this all together. So anyway, it should be good. At least going to have some good snacks because I know Cindy, she's going to make some good stuff there. So that's worth it just by itself. Any other announcements? I think that's pretty much got stuff covered, unless we think of something else as we go through. So, anyway, the topic for this evening is just basically rag chewing 101. Rag chewing, yes, what us hams do, and talk about just basically chewing the fat on the air, and of course, with the protocol, not tying up the repeater too long. Anyway, this will be from page 65 on the August 2013 UST Magazine, And like I said, this is from ARRL. If you're not getting QST, it's probably because you're not a member of the ARRL. And for the doggone $39 a month, it's well worth the support they give us with all our ham frequencies. This is why we have what we have. And, you know, it's all good stuff. Plus, this magazine, which has a whole bunch of information, technical stuff and non-technical stuff, and just good old news of what's going on. So, anyway, if you're not a member of ARRL, think about joining. $39 a year, not a problem. Multiple years are a lot cheaper. All right, but before we proceed, let's get our roster here. We got some people that check in just about most of the time, if not all the time. Starting with, top of the list, my helper and good friend, WB6CLZ Mike.
Thanks for the kind words, Tom. Hey, this is Mike, WB6CLZ in Placentia. Good evening to everybody.
For all your help here, and of course I know right next to you has got to be WB6CIN Cindy, and good seeing you both the other day. Appreciate that. Thank you for the tomatoes. Appreciate it. Cindy, are you out there?
WB6CIN.
All right, must have doubled with you a little bit. That's okay. Not a problem. Cindy, thanks a bunch. How about KA6CIA George?
Good evening, Tom. KA6CIA.
And good evening there, George. Hopefully it's cooled off a bit for you down there, but look out, summer's coming. All right, good to have you out there, of course, as always. And let's see here. Well, I know they're out there listening. We got KE6RJ and KE6QI here in Nancy.
Okay, Nancy says check me in. And check me in too, KE6RJ. Okay, now, thanks.
Okay, Harry, got you both checked in here. Appreciate that. Thanks a whole bunch, and thanks for all you do for the CERT group and the CERTnet. Do a lot there, I know. Anyway, all right, let's move on to the next person on my list, which is KJ6HCS Mike in Ponskin.
Evening, Tom. KJ6HCS, no traffic.
Hey, Mike, good to hear you out there. Hopefully everything's going good for you. And we need to get together, get you your internet and your computer up and running. Courtesy check-in for your dad, K6EKX, if he happens to be listening. Next, I have WA6ITC, Rod. Hey, nothing heard from Rod yet. How about KJ6FIL, Mike in Redlands?
Good evening, all KJ6FIL.
And good evening there, Mike. By golly, you know what? I don't even know any night you haven't been out there. Thanks again. How about KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary?
This is KJ6KDK and KJ6KDL for a change. Not much indirect to you, but I'm here.
Hey, good to hear your voice out there. Appreciate that. And hopefully the madness will end. No, not for any of us, right? It's one of those years. All right, thanks, Jim. Rosemary, appreciate that. Thanks for all the help. Next, I have, let's see if he's listening, W6GZI, Frank. Okay, don't hear Frank out there. How about KI6IQA Kelly? Nothing heard from Kelly. How about K9 from Long Beach? Nothing heard from Steven. How about K6GBL Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and the net. This is Ron, K6GBL, Green Valley Lake. No traffic.
Hey, Ron, how's our competition out there from south of the border? Are you hearing us okay?
Tonight we're doing just fine. I don't know if it's south of the border it's causing a problem, because it's just sounds like somebody was trying to jam or something last week. I didn't hear any people talking because I've got the CT on your output also.
Well, we never know what's going on there. Hey, All I can say is every once in a while they don't pay the electric bill for running all that power and they disappear, I guess. That's my theory. I'm sticking to that one. All right, Ron, thanks to have you out. Thanks for being out there, and let's go on to AD6BL Harold from Riverside.
Evening, AD6BL.
And Harold, glad to have you out there, and I know we usually have, we've been hearing Quint out there, but we'll don't hear him all the time, so we'll just hold off on that. How about KJ6PYV Dave?
Good evening, Tom and Annette, KJ6PYV, checking in.
Well, hello Dave, and glad to have you out there, and don't know if you know a few other people with CERT that might want to volunteer for our event. Tracy called me today, and we have about 12, he's looking for about another 6 from Big Bear to do that Ride the Bear, so if you hear anybody out there from CERT who would like to participate, let me know. Just send me an email. All right, how about W6JOM Judith and W6KMM Ken, Defense Builder? He's probably building the fence. All right, not a problem. How about K2BBL Alan from Moonridge? Another there from Alan, and I'm going to move on down here to K6YNW Chris from the Lower Desert.
Howdy. And if I put the tone on the listening side, it just cuts it out on my radio. And good evening again, K6YNW.
Well, Chris, thanks for doing that, and that really helps a lot. And it helps people, you know, that's good information there. Yeah, put a tone PL squelch on that thing, and my golly, that'll help. W6POO, we'll give him a courtesy check-in. I know he's moved to Idlewild, still trying to get his gear up and running. And, but he does email me from time to time. He's doing okay. All right, moving on down to Ron, WA6HF in Eastern Big Bear. All right, nothing out there from Ron. How about KD6LEN Bill, Boulder Bay? I think the red car ate him alive. All right, how about WA6DLB Donna? Are you out there? And nothing heard about KJ6QYN, Shelley from Apple Valley. All right, nothing heard from Shelley. How about NQ7RD? Let's see, we have Rick out there from Cerritos. Ah, well, must have a very slow night here. Okay, let's move on. Let's see, my favorite aerospace machinist, AE6CK, Victor from Santa Fe Springs.
Good evening, Tom and group, Victor, Santa Fe Springs.
And sorry if I didn't get with you a weekend ago, but you know what, I've been very, extremely busy, and we'll get all that stuff worked out anyway, so. All right, thanks so much for all your help. Appreciate that. Next, I have KA6ROD Rod from Moonridge, if he's out there.
I'm here. Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
Rod, you about ready to fire up that truck, put some cement sacks in the back of it? Not tomorrow, but, you know, in the next week or two, or how's your schedule?
Pretty much open.
Okay, appreciate that, and thanks for being out there this evening. Appreciate all your help. How about KV6LTY Christy, if she's out there from Apple Valley? Nothing heard, and we'll see if he's out there. One shot for AE6TV Hans, another IRLP guy. Nothing out there from Hans. How about W6JET, Rob, Temple City?
Tom and Annette, W6JET.
Rob, appreciate you being out there checking in from Temple City, and man, get up here, it's good weather if you can. All right, next I have KJ6RAY, he's either Mobile or in Chino Hills.
Good evening, Tom and Annette, KJ6RAY, Mobile, Chino Hills.
All right, Ray, glad to have you out there, and thanks for checking in, and just about every week you're out there. Okay, good deal. Well, that is a majority of the people who do check in on a regular basis. First, if you're a late check in, any later miss members that have not been called or have been called or I missed them or you missed me, please come back to KF6Q. We got that out of the way. I don't even know what that was. Okay, how about any guests who would like to check in to Tech Tuesday here on the K6BB repeater? Please come back and check in. We had somebody try there one more time. Go ahead.
Ian and Pomona, M6BOP, a guest.
N6BOP, good evening, and hope your red-eye net's still doing well, and glad to have you as a guest. Anybody else? All right, well, that's okay. I imagine a lot of people out there are trying to stay cool, for one. Well, Mike, any great space weather or DXing to report?
Nothing that I really have noticed or anything that I've done. Maybe somebody else, though, has. See if anybody else has noticed any good DX or anything. I know the high frequencies have been kind of goofy lately, but 17 meters and 20 meters have been good. So let's see if anybody else has worked any good rare DX in the recent past. WB6CL bit.
Okay, and call out there. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Anybody else out there? The DX working out there. If you're doing it, fine. If great, give us a report and appreciate that. And I'll come back to KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group. All right, Mike. Well, I think that is it for that. Well, let's check this out. This is basically a very cool article with QST Magazine. And I know you picked this out here. Essentially, real basic, rag chewing 101. Now, rag chewing. Mike, what is rag chewing?
You even have a definition on that. Rag chewing is the ability to meet a stranger on the air, find common interests, and linger a while in conversation. Most of the time on HF, unless you get a rare QSO, that doesn't happen. Go ahead, Tom.
I know a lot of ham radio is based on the HF bands, but you know what? There's a lot going on right here on the repeater, and we get a lot of people on here from Echolink. Actually from all over the world. And with this as basically, this kind of applies to just about any frequency band, and including the local VHF band. So, with that said, you'll hear quite often somebody out there basically announce their call sign. And I know I'm not really following this article, Mike, so bear with me here. Okay, we're going to do some prelims here. It's a very short article. Somebody jumps on the repeater, let's say right here, or even out there in HF band, they might call CQ. But basically, or even CQ here, which is really not normal, but it happens. And with doing that and announcing their call sign, what are they kind of saying? I mean, what is, if I jump on there and say KF6Q, wow, okay, I know my call sign. But basically, what am I saying?
I heard that, Tom. I would think, hey, you know, that guy's looking for somebody to talk to. And if I had time, I would probably get in there and say KF6Q. WB6Q on that. Hey, go ahead, Tom. What's going on? Go back to you, Tom.
And with that said, we have somebody out there with something. Go ahead.
Yes, on high frequency, K6YNW, on high frequency, 40 meters was my band. I just, when I was on high frequency, I've always been in CW, but I just chatted and chatted and had all kinds of fun with it. Not so easy in 20 meters, and sometimes 75 meters can be a little clanny. K6YNW.
I'm sorry, I think I stepped on somebody, but somebody else was coming in there. Go ahead.
Yeah, Tom, this is KG6HCS. My dad, he was listening
talked to him just a little bit ago, and he's saying, he's on the phone right now. He says, CQ is calling quarters.
Very cool. I did not know that. Anybody else who didn't know that, join the group. Calling quarters. Wow. Did not know that. CQ. I always knew that was calling out there for somebody to talk to. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. And Chris, yeah, there's some good bands out there. There's actually, I've heard people, even the 17-meter band, a lot of good stuff there going on. You know, we all kind of adopt that with HF, and some of us who are still techs out there, basically still, you know, we're hanging out here in the repeater looking for to get our general license and get out there and experiment. But, you know, with all that said, Mike, back to what we were talking about as far as announcing your call sign or calling a CQ out there on the HF bands, you're pretty much right. You see, and sometimes people really don't know what to say or do. They'll come out there looking for a radio check, signal check. And a lot of times, that's all they want. A lot of times, they're actually looking to see if somebody to talk to. And you know what? If you have the time and aren't doing anything, you know, hey, grab the mic and, you know, chat that person up. You never know. Could be somebody, I actually met Ray Bush, who knew my dad and some other friends. We had mutual friends and people out there, but I never knew that. And, of course, once I started talking with Ray, oh my gosh, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago, next thing I knew, it was like, hey, he knew, you know, this and that, and we had mutual friends, and you'll find it's a small world, and sometimes that rag shoeing turns into be, hey, you're finding a long-lost friend that you went to different schools together or something like that. Anyway, Mike, anything to add to that? You know, let's move on to the article.
A little story too, Tom. One of my favorites in the recent past, probably last year, I was listening on the repeater. I was up there in Big Bear, and a British station came on, which was, you know, kind of unusual. You don't hear British stations on a 2-meter repeater. Well, it was the QRZ Amateur Radio Group of Sussex, England, and they had the girl guides out there, which was really cool. They had almost like a jamboree type of thing. Well, half an hour, 45 minutes, I talked to 9 separate girls, hearing all of their little stories and this and that, and how they, you know, are talking on the radio and how they got into it. I'm holding in my hand 9 identical QSL cards with different, there's vanilla, and different girls' name, Amy and Josephine, and which was very cool. That is probably the longest rag chew I have ever had. But, it, you know, it was kind of cool and kind of interesting. Back to you, Tom.
Well, Mike, you know, there's another thing, too. You haven't heard this out there, and I'm speaking to anybody out there listening. If you haven't heard this out there, quite often we get people on there that are doing a demo for a class of kids or Boy Scouts or YMCA group or something like that. And they'll get out there and do this as a demo, looking for somebody to talk, you know, talk to, as a demonstration, or do some third-party work with one of these kids. And this is fantastic. And I'll tell you right now, if you do have the time to pick up the mic on that, please do, because you know what? You could inspire some future hams that are, you know, these kids are like, Bill, what, anywhere from 10 years old to 16, 17 years old, in that range. And it's always a good direction, always good to promote that stuff. So you'll find this happening a lot more in the summer, of course, and there's a couple programs going on up here now. We're trying to get some of the local camps involved with that because they can get extra credits or just have fun or do all kinds of stuff. But it takes personal time. How much personal time do we have? My gosh, it seems like it just runs short. But Mike, with that, boy, I'm like kind of getting sidetracked here with that issue. But anyway, very cool. So definitely got out there and did that. Well, let's go on to the good conversationalist and go on to the different topics. Let's cover those. I'll let you lead off with the first one.
Well, I don't think we've covered this part of it. And basically what this Mike Pulley, WB4ZKA, is talking about is there's good ways and bad ways to be a conversationalist. the worst way, it says first, the worst way, is talk exclusively of yourself. This is not what you're supposed to do. How old you are, how young you were when you became a ham, how smart, accomplished, and successful you are. Get on your soapbox and tell everybody about how everybody else is stupid except you. Boy, sounds like me. No, just kidding. Anyway, but yeah, and those topics aren't forbidden. It's just that that forces the other person to endure a torrent of me, myself, and I. And it does. It gets old pretty quickly. That's probably not the thing you should do. And especially on CW, you could pound that brass for a long time, and somebody's happened to listen to all this boring stuff. The other way, the best way to do it, is to show interest in the other person. Don't wait for them to take the lead. You know, ask them their age, how long they've been a ham, you know, different things like that. And we've got other various questions that we can ask people to kind of get a contact moving instead of just the, you're 5'9" here and 7'3". Back to you, Tom.
And this is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group, every Tuesday that we can. Well, exactly, and you know what? A lot of people don't realize, here, a couple things. Number one, when you're talking on the radio, everybody out there is listening. You and I are talking. Everybody out there is listening. And like you said, with the me, myself, and I part, if you ever met a complete stranger in an airport, you're waiting for a plane, or you're standing in a line at McDonald's, or whatever you're doing, the point is, nobody wants to hear everything about you, what you've done, who you are, you know, me, and not only that, I'm the greatest. That's baloney. You know, nobody wants to hear that, and they don't want to hear it on the radio, so I think that's a good point. So if you really want to get some conversation going out there, he's got some key points, and, you know, these are good conversational points, and Mike, why don't you go ahead? I think we're down to that point now. How about, let's go on to these one by one.
There's a couple here I've never thought of, and they're kind of cool. One is, where can I find your town on the map? But you better have a map handy to where they tell you. You can look it up real quick. But that's always a good one. I always, when I'm up at Big Bear, because it's kind of a special place, and we've got the 7,000-foot advantage and all that, I always like to tell people that, well, I'm up at 7,000 feet in the mountains of Southern, beautiful mountains of Southern California. And I go on from there, tell them about where it is in relation to L.A. And such. And we go on from there. Why don't you take the next one, Tom, or comment on that?
Yeah, actually, and that's pretty cool, because basically if you're on the HF bands, you could be talking to somebody in Australia, you could be talking to somebody in Spain, you could be talking to somebody in South America, who knows? And basically, generalization is a good thing. Like, okay, well, I'm in Sugarloaf, and they're going to say, where is that? Okay, well, I'm in some mountains east of Los Angeles, in the United States of America. And they might know that, okay, but they're never going to know where Sugarloaf or Big Bear are in relation to anybody else, so depends. Now, if you're talking on the repeater here, the guys in Barstow, that's totally different, you know, so, but that's pretty cool. And as far as some of these people have the coordinate quadrants and stuff like that, I mean, you and I up here, if we're up here in Big Bear, we're in Delta Mike 14, what does that mean? Well, there's a free thing you can download, and it's kind of cool. It's a quadrant thing of the entire world, I believe. But anyway, I know, at least I know where I'm at, Delta Mike 14. Basically, where I used to live was Delta Mike 13. That's how precise that gets, so that's pretty cool. Anyway, let's move on. Well, let's see. What caused a community to form there? Wow. Okay. Well, let's see. For us, Big Bear, it was gold. Gold in them there are hills. Mike, anyway, go ahead and add to that a little bit. What happens if you're basically in a place like Placentia?
I've actually seen gold in Van Dusen and found some. Yep, that's true. Well, yeah, Placentia, you know, it was an old farming community. We had orange groves and such, And my favorite is in Anaheim, the old German settlers growing grapes. You know, that's where I was born. So that's the one that I really know about. And, yeah, I have actually talked about that before. A guy in Australia and I were talking, and he asked me the question, well, how did Anaheim become? And, you know, I think he was in, up in Cairns, up in the northern part, northeastern part of Australia. So I heard all about how, you know, that was settled and Captain Cook never made it there and all. It was very interesting. Back to you, Tom.
You know, and there's always some history of some sort, you know, I mean, just like Colton, if you live in Colton, well, you know, hey, Wyatt Earp died here, sort of, I think, you know, and you know, or something like that. Or, you know, when you have some place out there like Tucson, Arizona, Tombstone, Arizona, there you go, another good place. Get out there, there's a lot of history. And it's kind of cool to share that history, especially if the person, now if the person lives right around the corner from you, well, they already know that. But if you're talking to somebody who's, say, on the other side of the United States or on another continent or something like that, it's kind of cool. And next thing you know, I mean, you can actually talk for a long time on that right there of where you are and basically background of the area you're in. And so it's kind of cool. But, you know, that's always good stuff. And it's always interesting because, you know, it's kind of cool. I talk to somebody who's maybe from Colorado and they're in a mining town, you know, or silver up there by the Comstock Lode or something up there, Nevada, you know, California, Nevada area. You know, that'd be cool because they might have information. I mean, yeah, I've seen a little bit about it, but it's really cool. So you never know. So stuff like that is really interesting, and most people, you know, will really just love to share that information with you. Well, anyway, then moving on to what brought you to live there. Well, let's see. For some of us, we were born there. Anyway, Mike, I'm going to hand that off to you.
I have that issue, Tom. I was born here too. But you know, we choose to still live in basically the same area, so that must be a good thing. I've heard a lot of that kind of stuff. I've heard people that have moved out here, well, I got tired of the snow and ice and, you know, that sort of thing. So, different thing. This one I've never thought of. What would I see standing in your front yard? You know, that's kind of a hinky one. I don't know. I live in a tract here. You see another tract house across the street, and every once in a while the Goodyear blimp will circle around Angel Stadium because I can see them from here. But, you know, that's about it. I don't know. I've never thought of that one. How about you, Tom?
Well, that's actually got two aspects there for me and anybody who knows me. Basically, if you're standing in my front yard and facing west, you'll see a beautiful sunset. There's a lot of trees. Actually, we're very close to the National Forest line and a whole lot of trees and beautiful sky. Now, if you're looking at my house, you'll see a very older house built basically back in the late 1950s, early 1960s, and a little bit of my accumulation, which I'm sorting out and getting out of eyesight, so just for those who know me. Anyway, but that's all good. But basically, that's kind of cool. So basically, where you're at, and if I was down at my house that I used to have in Mariloma, you stand in my front yard, you'd see my neighbor across the street. You know, that's what you'd see. So it changes with everything. If you're out there, say, in Colorado someplace, you're going to see something else. That's pretty cool. So sharing that information a lot with basically where you're at. So you never know. Anyway, let's move on to how do you spend your time when not on this band and mode? Whoa, okay. Well, yeah, we're not transmitting all the time. We're not on ham radio all the time. What do we do? Back to you, Mike. Besides work. Oh, wait a minute. No, work is one of those things. Go ahead, Mike.
Work is the next topic. Anyway, I've run into some interesting conversations with that too, you know, other people and things they do. Ran into a guy that rode and won Race Across America a couple of times, which was, I guess, starts in Huntington Beach and goes, you know, all the way to the other coast. Different people have so many different and interesting hobbies. And, we've even had, Tom, you and I have gotten our gardening topics that kind of stuff. So yeah, there's just so many different things you can talk about, and hopefully the people you're talking to are interested in similar type things. Back to you, Tom.
And hobbies are really kind of cool. That's what we do when we're not working, and it's really fascinating to find that somebody will have a hobby that's totally disrelated to what they do for a living or what they ever did for a living. They might be retired, and that's always really cool. And then, of course, there is, like you say, there is that very, this is not the one we want to talk about too much. What is or what was your work? But that can be interesting to some degree, but, you know, when you start talking about work, that's, and I used to do that a lot about with a lot of different people that I also worked with, and we talk about work. You have to actually get away from that. You know, it's better to back up one and go to the hobby thing. Because work is good. You know, what did you do, or what have you done, or, you know, what did you used to do? It's kind of cool. You don't want to dwell on this. This is not one to dwell on, and this is my personal opinion, because basically, amateur radio is a fun hobby. All this stuff is great, and work is what a necessity, but you basically, I don't think it's a good one to dwell on too long. Mike, anything else to add before we move on to the next one?
Yeah, well, I'm about at the stage where I'm getting overworked as soon as I can. One of those things. But yeah, and you know, and ham radio can help you in work too. I mean, I worked at a place, a warehouser company in Amherst, and it just so happened that the senior electrician was a ham, and it just so happened that they were having an apprenticeship, and you know, that kind of put me in a little bit better position, because he knew that as an electrician, I do a lot of the you know, the stuff, the electronics, a lot of the theory, and he wouldn't have too much work on what he did. But he expected not to have very much work training. So, yeah, that really helped me. And in the Navy also, the executive officer on the ship was a ham. So that got me where they were going to put me in the deck force. And even though I was a radioman, that got me up into radio. So, and it's kind of helped my life out. And very interesting, the people that say the same thing. The other one, the next one that I like is, why did you become a ham? What attracted you to it? That is a very interesting one, and you're going to get so many different, varied answers. To me, kind of simple. I just never have gotten over the fact that I can talk on this microphone, and that stuff travels over the airwaves, travels over the ether, and you guys can hear me. It's just amazing to me. Too simple. Back to you, Tom.
Oh, and I have to say one thing, too, is that basically with, like you say, with ham radio, probably met, I have no idea, in the last 4 or 5 years through ham radio, where we used to know only about maybe less than 5 people up here and have been up here for decades. And then after actually finding out of all this stuff with ham radio up here and newer people with ham radio, the fascinating thing is like, wow. And they told 2 friends, and I met 2 of their friends, and next thing you know, it's like, wow, big community. Anyway, well, yeah, why did you become a ham? And this is really cool, because I have to say that, you know, with a lot of us, depends on what age you came across this. You might have been older and said, hey, this is really cool for emergency communications. Or, like myself, hey, it goes way back, there was CB radio and walkie-talkies and things like that. And that was all pretty cool. And then you find out about ham radio, it's like, wow, okay, now I can really talk to somebody besides, you know, a mile away or 100 feet away, depending on the ham radio or the CB radio. With all that said, the doors open up. Now, if you never had that opportunity, or maybe you know a ham, or you had a neighbor that was on ham radio, and he's talking to Europe, or he's talking to some guy over there, and you're like, well, how can he do that? So, at a young age, if you have or ever experienced that, that's great. And if you are a ham today, and you have the chance to share that with the younger generation, your grandkids, your kids, whatever, the neighbors, kids, and the neighbors and all that. Next thing you know, it's like, wow, you could actually change their whole life, believe it or not, and that is not a lie. Mike, I'll hand that back to you, basically, and then we'll wrap up there with the last one, and then we'll go further on the article.
Tom, yeah, definitely ham radio has changed my life. There's no doubt about it. So, that's cool. I'll start the last one. And tell me about your family. I mean, and that can go on and on and on, too. Example for me is Samuel F. B. Morris III. I ran into him, not on the air, but working in his apartment probably 3 years before he passed away, had an issue with his heater. He wasn't warm enough. He was 90-some years old. So, I mean, the family of Sam Morris, that's a good one. Back to you, Tom.
That's all very, very, very cool. So anyway, there's a whole lot of stuff there on talking about conversations. And unless anybody has really been keeping track here, this stuff right here, if you pretty much follow in this suit, just sharing your background, where you live, what you do, what you've done, you know, and how you got there. With all that said, you know, and if you missed one of these, no, this is not a checklist. But basically, you know, you're going to end up with, actually, you can talk, if you find somebody who really wants to listen to all this, and he's on the same end and telling you about him, Mike, I can see people there talking for at least 30, 40 minutes, not a problem, to somebody you've never met in your life. So, anyway, with all that said and done, this is kind of like a really cool little list here. If you're new to radio, if you're new to talking to people out there, kind of good little, if you want to keep it as a checklist, that's fine. Write the stuff down. You know, very, very cool. But and not everybody was going to want to get as involved as you are. Or some people may want to get more involved. Keep in mind, some of these people you may be talking to don't get out and about. And ham radio is their only way of doing that. So take the time. Share some time with these people. You never know who's out there. Mike, back to you. We're going to get down to the Rag Tours Club, and then we'll get ready to close Tech Tuesday.
Tom, yeah, that'll bring up the 30 minutes of on-the-air time, the old Rag Tours Club they used to have. Tom says, though, you have to remember that not everybody likes to rag you. A lot of people just like the contest. They want the 5-9, they want the exchange, and that's it. But then again, more times than not, you're going to get people that want to talk, and a lot of times, it's kind of hard. You get a rare DX station or an Australian or New Zealand, and they'll want to talk. The guys down under seem to want to talk a little more than other people. They just love it. And there'll be people, pile-ups waiting, and these guys will sit there and rag you. Sometimes that can be a little bit of a problem, but you just flow with it and go ahead. Let's talk about the Rag Tours Club. Tom, back to you.
E.T.?
Yes, go ahead.
B6JET. Well, I think the main thing that a lot of people rag you on is their station, what type of antenna, what kind of power they're using, they're on solar, battery, etc., what their power level and all that is. So that's a lot of rag chewing will go on that particular subject. Back to you, the net. W6JET.
You know, Rob, and that's a very good point. I know they didn't put that in the article here, but quite often it's a matter of sharing, you know, what you're using for equipment. Because let's say you're talking to a guy who's somewhere in Portugal, and, you know, it's basically it's like, okay, well, what are you using? I'm talking to you, you're talking to me, and, you know, I got this, you know, maybe Burger King Whopper antenna over here, and maybe he's got this huge five-element beam running in 1,500 watts. Who knows? But with all that, that's probably one of the things that comes up a lot. Rob, appreciate you bringing it out there because it's not in the list here. It's definitely one of the things that you know, people want to know, especially on HF, so appreciate that. Anyway, okay, back to the Rag Chewers Club. have such a thing. Mike, I didn't know they really did. But with all this said and done, you know, there's their website, this is SPAR, Society of Preservation of Amateur Radio, spar-ham.org, and click on Rad Chewers Club. Very good there. Well, Mike, with all this said and done, basically we do this net. There's a lot of people that check into nets. What's a net? Okay, well, you check into a net, and whatever the group is, and you're saying, okay, here I am, my equipment's good, and that's that. Tech Tuesday is not that type of net. We call a few names out there. We really appreciate all of you out there that are out there just about every Tuesday, and that's great. And what do? We talk about stuff like this. But we leave the mic open, not open per se, but we leave the, you know, we're right here listening after the net for just that purpose, a little rag chew about what's going on here with our topics or something else maybe that popped up and we didn't know about or whatever. And we're always out here. So we try to do that every Tuesday, and sometimes we don't get back here until Tuesday with that. But Mike, I think it's always great, and I always appreciate everybody out there listening. Back to you, Mike.
We do, Tom, and like our preamble says, it's to spark interest, and that's what we do. We spark interest in various topics of ham of interest in ham radio, and, you know, if you want to take it farther, that's what you'll do, and that's what's so cool. Well, as we finish this up, I like this last paragraph. It says, a radio and a license aren't much use or much fun until you talk with someone. Don't settle for the canned routine. With a little practice, you can become as proficient a conversationalist as you are a radio operator. Very cool. Hey, back to you, Tom.
And KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group every Tuesday that we can. Speaking of that, Mike, I do, before we close this down, and we'll ask for any comments here in just a second. There are many times that Mike has been out there working all day, and I have too, but we still try to make sure that we get on here and do this just because of the fact that we believe in ham radio, we believe in talking about this stuff, so just a little FYI there. We always are open to anything else out there for topics, so don't forget that. Anyway, well, Mike, before we close down Tech Tuesday, we'll ask if there's any comments or questions or suggestions from the group out there this evening. Please come back to KF6Q and the group.
D6PL.
Yes, Errol, go ahead.
You were talking earlier about demonstrations, and it's used to, I haven't heard it for a while now, but used to, during the summer when the Boy Scouts go out camping, they're not always, but a lot of times there'll be a ham radio operator with them. It'll take at least a walkie-talkie, and they'll get on the air in the evening and ask for demonstrations. It used to be sometimes it hit two or three a week over on Clara, and I'd hit him over on Keller. At that time, I wasn't listening up here a lot because it just was not a whole lot. When I'd come up here and listen in whenever I know that somebody over in Nevada was working with somebody over here, I'd find out about that. But they're always very happy. If you just talk to the operator, and if you talk to the kids, if they can get them to talk, they have a little problem sometimes. These kids, they don't want to get on the radio, they're a little bashful, but the kids, you can hear them in the background, they're always happy that somebody's speaking to them, so maybe get somebody interested, 86 beyond.
No, Harold, that's one thing there that will not allow ham radio to die. Yeah, okay, I have four daughters, and they text out, I think, what was it, my wife just told me, my oldest daughter, who's going to be 40 this year. Oops, I'm sorry, not supposed to give out her age. Well, no, you guys don't know her anyway. She is going, I think she goes through something like, what'd she say, 15,000 texts? I don't know, it was incredible. It wasn't in the hundreds. It was way up there in the thousands. Of course, unlimited texting. And I'm thinking, like, Wow, okay. And you take, with all this capability of stuff, with unlimited this, unlimited that, and some of these limits are, they actually have a limit, so you gotta watch out. But, you know, some are, some aren't. With all that said, and this, you know, the cell phones are going to become, or the smartphones are going to become the old technology. We're going to move into, with ham radio, with some of our younger generation out there. Wow, this is a real radio. This is really, this has got an antenna and all that. Because the cell phone becomes more like just one of those, like the remote control for the TV. It's just another little object sitting there on the tabletop. For ham radio, as long as it's got some physical size, it's great. And then there's the other aspect through Echolink and IRLP links that allow that with using smartphones. So many different options. So I think that is very cool. And you'll never get away from that impression of, wow, this is a radio that you can talk into and they can hear me, not the other way around, and you just tune in and whatever is there is there. That's got a little special feature to it, and I don't think that's ever going to go away. Harold, I appreciate that. Go ahead with anything else on that.
I just used to spend a lot of time, anybody that, you know, if you're just carrying your HT around with you, tune it around up here, Keller, over on Clara, usually afternoon or evening is when they're... In the morning and the early afternoon, they're doing their scout things, trying to earn badges and drown each other in a swimming pool, whatever. And then in the evening, when it's relaxing time and they're having their little hot dog roast and whatever, that's usually when the operator will get out his HT, or occasionally they'll have a battery-powered mobile that they'll take with them, put up a little antenna and use that. And sometimes it's a little difficult to work it because they don't have a lot of power, or they'll be in a difficult position up in the hill. But it's always great just to hear the kids in the background. A lot of times you get some kid on there just as sharp as a razor and will talk to you until he learns everything he can. So just give it a try, 86 feel.
And that's actually if, by the way, if I sound different, I'm on a different radio just for a minute. If you can, especially up here, through the Big Bear repeater is really a good link out for that because there's so many camps up here. This is kind of like a little nest of paradise, if you want to call that, for all the YMCA and the kids and the Boy Scouts and all that. With all that said and done with, good to monitor this, good if you want to reach out and do that. So appreciate that, Harold, and we'll get into more of that actually the next few weeks. We have a really cool thing happening, by the way. That's the announcement I don't think I made. We'll do that in just a second. Anyway, I'll call first for any other comments or questions or suggestions. Please come back to KF6Q and the group. All right, not hearing anything there. Mike, anything you'd like to add? There is one little thing I'd like to add. Chris Doering from Land Ops, basically very, very cool group, is scheduled to bring a large amount of his group to our Big Bear Amateur Radio Club meeting at the end of September. They're doing a whole operation up here on the mountain with ham radio and other means of communications with a lot of respect for our repeater. They've got a lot of stuff going on there. These are good people, so looking forward to that. That'll be at the last Saturday in September. If you want more information on that, please go to landops.com. Anyway, Mike, before we close it out, one more comment out there from you. Please come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, in the group.
Well, one
one, two things, 2 points. Cindy thinks that this would be a good one maybe once a year to go back to and review. She thought it was very interesting and very informative, so I'll pass that on for her. She's out packing the truck for our work tomorrow. And the other thing is, with my left ear, while I'm listening to you here on my right ear, with the left ear, I'm listening to 40 CW here, and there's a guy on 40 CW that was a street cop in San Bernardino, then became a teacher, and now he's talking about his horses and motorcycles, so a good rag chew going on in my other ear, too. Back to you, Tom.
Hey, Mike, and if I caught that right, this guy is on 40, and he's on CW.
Myself, going about 15, 16 words a minute.
You know, this is one thing, and I encourage people out there, you do not need to learn Morse code to get your license. That's gone away for quite some time now. But there's a lot of people out there that still communicate that way. And, of course, as we've talked about right here, it is the best method for super long distance communications out there. Beats digital hands down. Only, you know, when you're reaching out there continents away, so it'll break through a lot of stuff. So anyway, good to pick up, good tool, another challenge. If you've got your tech license, yeah, okay, maybe you're happy. If you've got a general, maybe you're happy. Maybe you didn't have to take the code test. But it's another challenge out there, and what it will do for you is open up doors, incredible doors, that are just, you know, beyond all comprehension. Anyway, Mike, real quick, back there on the CW.
Yeah, they're gone. He said 7-3. Yeah, it takes a while to learn it. I mean, yeah, but once you learn it and start hearing words and like that, it's a pretty good means of communication. And we have to also point out that the people with tech licenses also have CW in, 80, 40, and 15, I believe, and 10 meters. And 5 words a minute. There's a lot of people that will send it at 5 words a minute. I know Chip W6POO, when he was starting out, had a hard time finding people, but he went down on the 7060 on 40 meters, and there's a lot of people that will slow down. It's a great form of communications, and it does. It sets you apart from other people, and it gives you also a method to communicate that is very simple and inexpensive. How's that, Tom? Back to you.
On KF6Q Tech Tuesday in the group, and if you knew Morse code, you would know that just typed out K6BB. And Morse code, and that's how that you can actually ID some of the repeaters. Ours is real simple, K6BB, very simple, easy to ID, but a lot of stuff out there still uses Morse code for that purpose. It's quick, to the point, and you get the message. So anyway, well, Mike, with all that said, I think we've had a great Tech Tuesday again, and with all that, you know, we always promote, you know, people reaching out there, going the extra mile, doing that. And if you need help, we're actually starting some classes up here. Don't have a firm date on that for the tech test. We'd like to get some stuff going for the general. And we're looking for helpers on instructors and looking for stuff. A lot of people out there still know somebody who wants to get out there and take their test. They need a little help. Probably do a little one-week course and get that going. So anyway, more information on that coming up. Anyway, well, Mike, also, K6BB, our club, BBARC, will be at the air show this year out there full force. Please come out and see us. Mike, I can't see anything else out there. One last call to anybody out there with questions or suggestions. All right, well, hearing done, QST, 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 this is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday Net, with a lot of help from Mike, WB6CLZ out there every week, and appreciate everybody out there listening in, checking in, and participating We always try to keep something going out there with great interest and current stuff that's happening out there. We pull a lot of stuff from QST. If you're not getting QST, that means you're not a member of the ARRL. Please join. Please help support ham radio in the United States of America. Appreciate that. Anyway, 73 is all. Once again, hope we see you again next week. I'll keep the radio on here as usual. This is KO6Q, returning the repeater back to normal use.